Blog Talk Radio.
After Indiana closes out an 87-61 victory over North Dakota State in Assembly Hall, you know, and I guess it's kind of just a sign of how things have changed now, and the level of expectations that there are. That, you know, I feel a little bit underwhelmed after, you know, a performance where we win by 20 some points in a game where even in Andy's own preview, he, you know, said to expect maybe a 15-20 point victory. You know, and that's kind of where I want to start out tonight. You know, with tonight's banner moment is that, you know, for the first 3 years of Tom Crean's era, you know, our team, we struggled so much for two big reasons. You know, number one, we didn't really have a star, a guy who could put us on his back when things were going down a little bit, and we didn't have the depth. And I thought in today's game, you know, it was a tale of two halves, where in the first half, you know, I thought the team as a whole was just, it was a little bit blah, not quite focused, not quite crisp. You know, Yogi wasn't the same Yogi that we saw in that first game, but Cody was outstanding. And he really put us on his back. And I, you know, I kind of tweeted out that, you know, how the rest of the team played tonight, when they don't play without their edge, you know, take Cody out of the lineup and we're about even with North Dakota State when we don't play with that edge. And we didn't really have it, but Cody brought it. And that's why we were up by 12, 13 points in that first half. And then I thought in the second half, then the bench really showed the kind of depth that this team has now with guys like Remy Abel, who was just outstanding, continues to just make everything he shoots. So that Jeremy Hollowell did a really good job. And there was an interesting sequence where the Hoosiers went small. The lineup was Abel, Hull, Sheehy, Hollowell, and Creek. And after a little bit of uneven play, that lineup actually went on an 8-0 run and really pushed out the lead. And I thought from there, then, Indiana really rolled. The starters came back in. Cody and Victor actually came back in and led about a 7-8-point run that really served as the dagger. But I thought today, you know, hey, a good solid victory for Indiana. You know, against a team that they should beat like this, you know, but I thought it was just, you know, another great game from Cody that we expect. But again, in that second half, I thought the bench and especially Remy and Jeremy Hollowell were outstanding. Well, tonight, on tonight's episode, it'll probably go for about 30 minutes, 35 minutes, so a little bit shorter than normal. If you want to call in, the number is 646-716-6360, please do. It's just going to be Andy and I tonight. Ryan's got some Monday night football duties, so he is, I think he's listening, so we'll say hi to you, Ryan, but he's going to be unable to join us tonight. But with that said, let me bring in my partner, Andy Bottoms, and he'll give us his Bottoms line on tonight's IU victory.
Well, I think it's some of what you said. I mean, you look at the stats, at least assuming these are correct at this point. But, you know, you had three of the starters, Yogi, Watford, and Oladipo. You know, none of them scored over 7 points. But you had other guys step in when they weren't making shots, and they all, you know, made contributions. Oladipo had 8 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 assists to go with that. And you know, Watford grabbed a few rebounds. Yogi had 4 assists, did have 4 turnovers. Holtz came back and scored in double figures. So, but you look at, you know, Abel, Hollowell, and Sheehy. Again, Sheehy kind of had another one of those games where, similar to what you said, you felt a little bit underwhelmed and got in a little bit of foul trouble. Those three guys combined to score 35 points off the bench. So, I think it really just speaks to the depth of the team. And you don't, you know, a couple years ago, one of your better players didn't score 15 points a game, you're getting run out of the gym. And now that's definitely not the case, as we all know. And, you know, I think that's just a great sign of growth for the program that, you know, it's okay if those guys don't score, you know, as much, because there's a lot of other guys waiting to pick up the slack and, you know, step in and make big plays. So I thought that was really important tonight. And again, a little bit of what we saw a lot of last season, did a great job getting to the free throw line. You know, 30 free throw attempts compared to 58 field goals is pretty solid. So, you know, again, pretty aggressive. I thought at times maybe a little overly aggressive, but hard to argue with the result. And to your point, a game where you didn't ever really feel like, other than in a few brief stretches, they played their best basketball to win by 26 over a team that really is pretty good, and should challenge for an NCAA bid out of the Summit League is pretty good.
Yeah, you know, and one kind of sign of statistical dominance that, you know, I know was always kind of a hallmark of Coach Knight's teams back in the day and that I still always look at is whenever you can shoot more free throws than your opponent attempts, you know you've probably executed your game plan pretty well. And you probably have a big size advantage like we did and quickness advantage. But still, you know, making 22 free throws when your opponent only shoots 9 is pretty good no matter who you're playing. And so I thought, you know, I thought Indiana did a good job of that tonight. You know, I'd say it was a blah performance. You know, and I mean, that's kind of tongue-in-cheek. I mean, it was a little bit just based on the expectations of how we all think this team can play. But at the end of the day, they did do a lot of things. And I want to go back. I want to talk a little bit more about the depth, Andy, because I thought during our, you know, chat during the game, I thought you brought up a really good point that is going to end up being a theme of this year. And I think it's going to be interesting how it plays out because it's definitely a positive. But, you know, there could be a little bit of an underlying tension that comes in with it too, probably. And that is, as you said, if a guy doesn't bring it, if a guy is struggling, if he's not making shots, if he's not quite into it on defense for whatever reason, you know, in the past, there wouldn't really be any way to put that guy on the bench because we needed everybody with talent out there. Now, you know, I mean, hey, if a guy is struggling, there are 3, 4, 5 guys on the bench capable of coming in and playing. And you got to think every game there's going to be 2 or 3 guys that are playing well and will take minutes. I mean, how do you see that kind of playing out as this season goes along, even with, you know, because I think where the possible tension could come is that, you know, you've got the veterans, you know, the guys like Victor, the guys like Will, you know, who have been around, but if they're struggling and a guy like Abel is just unconscious like he's been the last 2 games, you know, how do you keep him off the floor?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we talked a little bit after the last game about, you know, team chemistry and some of those kinds of things. I think that's where you feel like it won't be an issue. Obviously, everybody's got an ego to a certain extent, and you may see that a little bit, but I think that, you know, if anything else, that competition should bring out the best in everybody because, you know, you do have guys that can step in, and you saw Abel play a little bit more, and I don't have at least the box score I'm looking at doesn't have the minutes, but, you know, there were times when Yogi didn't play as much as he did the other night, and, you know, but to feel confident to put other guys in big moments is certainly from a coaching standpoint pretty critical, and you know, I think it gives you the chance to play the hot hand a little bit, and you don't feel so much pressure to have certain guys step up and play well. And I think, you know, some of the things you'll see early on is just trying out different lineup combinations and things like that. I think, you know, you referenced one of the smaller lineups that was played. You had Watford and Hollowell playing together up front for a little while. I think you just saw a number of different things, and it's an area where, you know, at least when the game's, you know, not in doubt or a comfortable margin, I think it gives Crean the opportunity to play around a little bit with some of that and try to find combinations of guys that work. And, you know, right now, Remy Abel's working with just about anybody that's out there. So, you know, that's a comforting feeling, obviously, to bring him off the bench. And I think you've really seen, even with, you know, without Elston and Perea and Jerkin, although the ESPN box score says that Jerkin got in the game and grabbed an offensive rebound, which is probably a secondary violation at best. And then Yogi Ferrell and Kevin Ferrell both played and had separate stat lines in the box score I'm looking at. So, aside from that, we're so deep, we're just using players that aren't even eligible or in some cases don't even exist. So, good problem to have. I think I don't worry about it too much. You know, I think everybody still managed to get a fair share of shots and things like that. So, I'm at this point not worried about it.
Crean's recruiting is so good, he got 2 Yogis to come. It's amazing. Now, you know, I do want to say, I mean, look, it's early. These are 2 games against, you know, the kind of caliber of team that we're not going to measure this IU team by. So, I mean, it's great, you know, to see a guy like Jeremy Hollowell come out and, you know, score 12 points, do what he did. You know, now Remy had some big moments and big games last year, so I think we can feel fairly confident the stage isn't going to, you know, isn't going to be too much for him. You know, so, it, you know, and that's the thing with guys like Victor, guys like Christian, obviously, and Jordan Holes, those guys have been there. And I think, you know, obviously they're the kind of guys that I think Kareem is going to trust first in those tough moments. But it will be interesting, I think, as the season goes along, just to see what, you know, what he does with that bench, because this is really the first time. I mean, it was a little bit last year, but this is really the first time where, you know, like you said, you know, if a guy's not playing well, you know, finally, you know, there are alternatives, and that's going to be, that's nice. You know, that's a great thing to have, and hopefully from a chemistry standpoint, you know, it's nothing that presents any issues, and I don't think there's any reason to expect that it will. But it is, you know, as we kind of navigate through these early season games, I think it's something interesting to look at down the road. Now let's talk a little bit about our two feral point guards, Yogi and Kevin, according to ESPN. You know, Andy, Yogi was the story of the first game, and it was obviously his first game in an IU uniform. Everybody was excited to see him. You know, Isaiah Thomas tweeted his name, and he was out there doing all kinds of things and was very, very effective. And I thought tonight, I think it was, you know, Ken Bickoff or Rob Johns or one of those guys tweeted, he looks like a freshman tonight, which he does, and that's to be expected. But I thought, you know, he was just a step quick with his dribble. He was a little bit erratic with his passing, with his decision-making. I didn't think he really took any bad shots, you know, but he wasn't able to knock down any of those perimeter jumpers. It was just a little bit more of an uneven game from him. What did you see? I mean, do you think it was anything more than just, you know, a freshman maybe playing a little bit too fast? Or is there anything at all concerning about, you know, kind of the uneven performances a little bit in his first two games?
No, I mean, I think it's, you know, kind of the I think what, that's what you're going to get with a freshman point guard to a certain extent. And, you know, I think the luxury is you have guys you can put in for him, but you also have the ability to let him play through it a little bit. And I think that's what I saw a little bit tonight. I mean, he played, they got the minutes up here now, although I'm pretty sure half the stats I quoted earlier are now wrong based on what's changed. But it says he played about 22 minutes, seems about right, was 1 of 5 from the field, took 3 threes and missed all of them. I don't think that's an area where I think it's something you want to see him improve on over the course of his time, but I think, you know, probably not where you want to see him taking the bulk of his shots. He did have 4 turnovers, and I thought he did a good job of really driving, but I think he tried to, you know, didn't make the easy pass every time, whether that was kicking it outside to somebody to swing it around the perimeter instead of trying to force it into Cody in a crowded lane. I think that resulted in at least a couple of the turnovers. And obviously after last year where we were, you know, banging the desk saying, everybody get the ball to Cody, figure out how to do that, it's a little bit hard to come turn around and be critical and saying you're trying to get it to him too much. But I think some of it was that. I think, you know, the good thing is he's got good chemistry with Cody and is going to try to get him involved. But, you know, I think it'll just come with time. I think, you know, he had stretches where he played in control and he had stretches where he just kind of got into the lane, but I didn't know what he wanted to do with it. And, you know, more than that, I thought there was a couple times defensively where he really let himself get out of position and let Alexander, the point guard for North Dakota State, get by him. And, you know, I think just kind of what you're gonna see from a freshman. But I think the good thing is, as important as he really will be to the, you know, long-term success of the team, I think it's a case right now where, you know, he shouldn't feel the pressure of having to go out and do what he did during the first game, you know, night in and night out. So definitely something I think he'll learn from. And, you know, good thing for all the freshmen. You referenced Hollow earlier. I think just that's really where you feel worst about Perea and Jerkin missing time, because it's really an opportunity for these guys to get some game action and hopefully develop some confidence along the way. And I'd look for him to bounce back on Thursday.
Interesting. We're with our buddy Zach Gropper, who is at the game tonight. We'll be calling in here in a little bit. If you want to call in, 646-716-6360, feel free. We'll probably go for another 15, 20 minutes here talking IU hoops about tonight's victory over North Dakota State. Let's talk a little bit about Victor. I thought it was, you know, a little bit of an uneven performance by Victor, but I thought he had some stretches where he was really, really good. And I think those stretches, to a certain extent, coincided a little bit with when the team maybe needed a little bit of energy, and that's something that we've seen from him throughout his career. But it was a vintage Victor stat line. I mean, 7 points, 8 boards, 3 assists, 4 steals, you know, a couple of turnovers mixed in there. But what I've noticed about him, and tell me if you've noticed this too, is, you know, he's not making a high percentage yet from three-point range. He was 1 for 4 tonight. I don't know if he made one the other night, but I know he took a couple. But even though the percentage isn't there, to me it looks like he's more confident, and it looks like he's a little bit, you know, all of his shots have come within the flow of the offense. He hasn't taken a three yet, you know, unlike Sheehy, who's just taken a couple ill-advised ones where I've thought, oh, Victor, that's not a good shot. I feel like all of his shots have been good. They've looked confident. You know, and he finally was able to knock one down today. Have you noticed any difference at all in kind of how his shot looks to you? Because I know it's something that was a big point of emphasis for him in the offseason. And obviously kind of the biggest thing that he needs to improve on to take that next step as a player.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see what you do from a confidence standpoint. He's certainly not hesitating and seems to be, you know, you can tell he's worked on his shot a little bit. I guess for me, you know, when I look at the end of the game and I see he took six shots and four of them were from behind the three-point line, I kind of cringe a little bit, just knowing how important he can be going to the basket. And even if, you know, many times that ends in an assist, so he had five of those tonight. So, again, you know, hard to be too critical of a guy who really, you know, did a little bit of everything. But, I, you know, if he takes a couple a night and you know, maybe he, you know, makes one of those, maybe I could see it. I don't know. I just feel like with him, with what his skill set is right now, that's like settling for me where I feel like he can get a better shot down there. But I definitely noticed the difference, and that's probably why he's taking – I think I looked and he took one the other night and did not make it. But, you know, I like the confidence piece of it, but when I kind of look at the distribution of where his shots and where his activity would be, I guess I'd like to see it weighted a little bit more toward – you know, even if it's a, you know, pull-up jumper in the, you know, 15, 12-foot range, then I think that's where he can really excel. And I think that's an area where he's tried to work on as well. And really, I think if he's going to, you know, play at the next level, what he has to get better at first and then kind of work his way back. So I agree with you in some sense. I like the confidence. But for me, him taking two-thirds of his shots behind the arc doesn't make me feel great.
That's true. And that is the other thing I noticed is – you know, there were definitely times, especially in the second half of last year, you know, when our offense started to run through him. You know, even happened against Kentucky some, too. Or, I mean, he just took the ball and just, I mean, drove to the basket with, you know, not reckless abandon, but just, you know, kind of, hey, I'm coming. You know, and it really helped. I mean, his ability to attack off the dribble. I don't feel like we've seen that very much yet this year. Is that, are you noticing that, too?
Yeah, I did. I did as well. I mean, I think definitely when it would get out in transition, you'd see a little bit more of that. And there were a couple plays where, you know, he really, you know, got into the lane, and it reminded me a lot of the time when, you know, he was really playing the point for the team at the end of last year. Obviously, I don't know where all the five assists came from, but I think, you know, far more of them were, you know, in fast break scenarios and things like that, where he, you know, had a couple unselfish plays to Cody and things like that. So I've seen it a little bit, but not as much, and I don't know if that's just a factor of him not having the ball in his hands quite as much with Yogi in the mix now or what it is. But I definitely noticed a little bit of a drop-off there. But I think, you know, I think part of that just comes from having so many, you know, talented guys around him where you're not going to have one guy really dominate the ball, you know, dribbling in the way that I think he really did during that stretch when he played the point. So probably a little bit of a function of the different personnel and some of the things they're trying to do offensively, but I've definitely noticed it hasn't been quite as prevalent a part of his game.
And just because we can't get through an episode of the Assembly Call without Ryan criticizing Will Sheehy, he did just IM me and say that Sheehy's bad threes will eventually kill me. So, and I think we all had that thought when Sheehy took one of those threes in transition. You know, hey, the guy doesn't lack for confidence, but certainly the shot selection leaves a little bit to be desired sometimes. But with that said, let's bring in our buddy Zach, who is going to be a regular guest on the show. He wasn't able to come on the first episode, but he was there at Assembly Hall today. Zach, how you doing, man? Welcome to the Assembly Call.
Hey, guys. Doing pretty well. Glad to be here. Yeah, trekking through the cold Bloomington weather, but made it home safe and ready to talk an up-and-down win. But all in all, I'd say a pretty positive win.
What was the atmosphere like in there? Because, I mean, you know, the team's play was a little bit blocked, kind of felt like the atmosphere was just a little bit, you know, not quite up to par, which you would expect on a, you know, a Monday night, not a big opponent. Is that kind of what you felt too?
Yeah, I think the crowd, you know, it certainly wasn't as good as it was last Friday, probably a lot closer to like it was a couple weeks back in their exhibition game. With that being said, like you said, it's pretty much all you can expect on a Monday night against North Dakota State, you know, number one in the nation or not. Pretty much what you can expect. Most fans, as I put there on the Twitter feed, showed up, you know, with about 5 or 10 minutes left before the game. You know, fans were definitely there in advance more last Friday. But nonetheless, as the game progressed, you know, the fans started to get a bit louder when North Dakota State brought it within 10 points with the round. I want to say maybe 16 or 17 minutes in the second half, I think it was. And then IU responded, you know, and that's really when they took off in the second half. The crowd responded really well. And, you know, in the end, I would say the crowd was just fine. You know, it's not going to be, you know, the most electric thing you've heard every single time you go out there.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Zach, and, you know, you're obviously going to be going to a lot of the games this year, and, you know, as you kind of report back to us live from the hall, something that I kind of like for you to focus on is one of the things that you can't really tell watching on TV as much, and that's kind of some of the interactions, some of the team chemistry stuff, you know, how guys look when they're going back to the huddles, those kind of those body language type things and the interactions between individual guys that you really can only get a feel for when you're there and you can see the guys in person. You know, one of the topics that we've talked about a couple times on the show is just the depth and, you know, how this year's team, there's so many guys, you know, who can come in off the bench, who can play, you know, how are minutes going to get divvied up, that kind of thing. What do you see from this team just from a chemistry perspective? Because it's something we know was, for the most part, so strong last year. You know, they've talked about it being strong this year. You know, what do you notice just kind of watching these guys interact together as a team?
Yeah, well, to tackle the first question you asked, as far as interactions, you know, on the court that, you know, us fans can see when we're at Assembly Hall, I would say the most notable one is between Victor Oladipo and Yogi Ferrell. Yogi obviously is going to step right in. Like you guys said recently, you know, last year sometimes the offense had to run through Victor, and this year obviously not as much of the case since we do have Yogi. So, you know, after a turnover from Yogi like we saw some of tonight, when he kind of tried to force it into Cody and whatnot, going into a timeout, coming in and out of a timeout, I guess you should say. You really see Victor in Yogi's ear. You know, I've heard they have a great relationship. It's good to see somebody like Vic with as much energy and as much intensity as he has, really getting, trying his best to get through to Yogi. You know, he's going to need it. There's going to be a ton of pressure on Yogi's shoulders. You know, in a lot of IU's games throughout the season. So he's going to need that mentor. And, you know, although Victor isn't, you know, the pure point guard, you know, that can kind of teach Yogi the ways in that sense, you know, Vic's a fan favorite. Yogi's becoming a fan favorite more and more every day. And you can really see the mentoring process going on a lot there. And as far as the team chemistry as a whole, it looks pretty good. You know, most of the new guys that came in, you know, they've known they're going to be at IU, you know, for a couple of years. You know, we got some really early commitments dating back even a few years. These guys have played together on Indiana Elite's AAU team. You know, they know each other. They're ready for this. You know, there's definitely a lot of pressure on them. But nonetheless, I think they're all interacting really well. Another thing that would stand out to me is Christian Watford and Jeremy Hollowell. You know, it really seems like Tom Crean is trying to get Jeremy to learn as much from Christian as he can while Watford's here his senior season. Obviously, you know, they're very similar players, so that obviously makes sense. I think the chemistry's really well, going really well. I think certain players are learning a lot from other players. And although the depth in certain games may be an issue, I think even the guys like Victor and Will that you see act out on the floor a little more, I think they'll be okay with it. I think they know that's just how it's going to go, and I think they're ready for it. I think Tom Crean's pretty good at managing that, and so everything's looked pretty good at Assembly Hall so far.
Yeah, well, and as long as we keep winning, you know, that'll correct a lot of that stuff. I really don't think anything would be a problem unless we hit some kind of losing streak or whatever. And I know this team just seems too talented and too well put together and too focused for that to happen. Well, Zach, that's great stuff, and we're really looking forward to your reports this year. You know, one thing we always do on the show, we all give our final thoughts. So what is your final thought from Assembly Hall today after the Hoosiers moved to 2-0?
Well, I guess, you know, it may be cliche, and, you know, you're going to hear it a lot, but it really could be a different guy on any given night. And, you know, maybe it could be a different guy behind Cody Zeller. I think maybe that's smarter to say. But tonight with Remy Abel really stepping up, In the last game, you saw Christian Watford with the 15 rebounds. It can be somebody on any given night. We all know, that Jordan Holes or somebody even like Maurice Creek with their jump shots can light it up from outside on any given night. You know, we all know Christian Watford has the prowess to score a ton of points any given night. This team is so deep. It's the one factor that sets Indiana and, I think, Louisville apart from the rest of the college basketball field this season. It's not going to be like last year when Jordan Hull struggled and we had to rely everything on Victor Oladipo to run the offense or vice versa. There's a lot of guys that can step up, and I think even as you see the younger guys really develop throughout the season, the depth will only become more and more of a strength.
All right, good stuff, man. Well, hey, we look forward to it. Hopefully we can talk to you on Thursday, too, and all throughout the rest of the season. All right, Zach, thanks, buddy. And look for Zach's articles, too. Zach's been doing a great job covering, recruiting and all things IU for us on assemblycall.com, so continue to look for his articles and also the stuff on MidwestSportsFans.com. Just doing a wonderful job, man. Keep it up. Andy, let's kind of finish up here. Let's wrap up here these last 5-10 minutes. We haven't talked that much about Cody yet, and we probably should. It can be easy to take him for granted a little bit, but I thought today, today's game, and I kind of started off the show talking about him, but there were a couple of specific plays that Cody made today that just show what separates him from everybody else, I think. One was a breakaway dunk that he had. It was a great pass by Yogi, and what really impressed me wasn't the dunk, but it was the fact that right afterwards, Cody sprinted back down to the other side of the court and almost beat everybody back, and we've talked about his ability to run the floor. I think a lot of times you focus on offense, but he does it so well on defense too. And to do that after a dunk where he was the furthest away and to almost beat everybody else back was so great to see. And then, he had this beautiful spin move through the lane and finished with a layup. Had another one that I think he got fouled on, but, he did a little crossover and it was just so smooth. And even, at the start of the game had a jump shot. I thought he really showed tonight all the different facets that make him such a special player. The defense, there were a few struggles on defense, and he got beat a couple times on rebounds. He's not perfect. But, I thought tonight really just showed the many, many things he can do. And when he's doing that, it's so impressive. It's so much like few players that we've seen. You so rarely see a guy that big with so many skills like he has.
Yeah, I think you saw, like you said, you saw a little bit of everything. He even knocked down a 12-foot jumper in the first half and really did a good job again, getting the other team's big men in foul trouble and, got to the line quite a bit. His free throw shooting hasn't been what it was last year, and I think that'll come around. When he got to the line 10 times, one of their big guys ended up with four fouls. The other two had three apiece, and they played a combined 13 minutes. So, he drew the vast majority of the, 10 fouls on those three guys. And I think, that just becomes so important particularly with those guys out for a while, but just in general, just getting into the bonus quickly and doing those kinds of things. And I thought, he seemed very aggressive, didn't really force the action, but made a point to get the ball to him again. He obviously, wrestling the ball away from the North Dakota State player, you still didn't really see a lot of emotion, but I guess you saw at least a little bit more, intensity or whatever you want to say there than I think we've been accustomed to seeing from him, which is, which is good as well. And, definitely showed the whole package tonight. And as long as he stays out of foul trouble, I think in some extent that leads to, him giving up a couple baskets, at least for right now. He's just so important that it's not worth picking up a cheap foul if somebody gets behind you. And I thought that North Dakota State's big guys, at Bjorklund in particular, did a really good job of, if there was even the slightest opening where Cody went to help or something else, he did a really good job of sliding into the right spot and being able to get a quick shot. And that guy shot like 67% for the year last season from the field, so that probably has something to do with it. But I thought he did give up a few things there, but overall, did a nice job and, nearly had a double-double and in just, 26 minutes of action according to this. So I thought he really set the tone in the first half. And to your point earlier was the difference at the half essentially with everybody else kind of you know, playing a little blah, as we said earlier. So.
And, you know, before we get into final thoughts, let's also talk a little bit about Jeremy Hollowell specifically, who I thought, again, you know, and I keep tweeting it out that I really like his offensive mentality because this is a guy who is a freshman. You know, and I know, you know, some of the reports, you know, about him coming out of high school were, you know, that he's a little bit laid back, this, that, and the other. You know, but he's come into the number one team in the country. When he gets in there, he is not bashful at all. You know, but there's a difference between being assertive and being a selfish offensive player. And I certainly don't think he's the latter. I think he's very much the former. He's just very assertive and confident. And I can't recall really a bad shot from him in the first two games. You can correct me if I'm wrong. You know, but he's taken a fair amount of shots. I mean, today he took 7 shots, which was third on the team behind Cody and Jordan. But they were all pretty much in the rhythm of the offense. You know, they all had a good chance of going in, even though some of them didn't. He was able to get to the free throw line. He was 5 of 6 from the line. And, you know, and I like his assertiveness. I like his confidence. And he's the kind of guy that we talked about. If for some reason shots aren't falling for somebody or someone just can't get into a rhythm, you know, he's a guy who's not going to be afraid to come in and get some things going on offense, which is such a great thing to have. Plus, I thought he had a couple nice, you know, his defense has left a little bit to be desired, which is natural for a freshman. But I thought he had a few nice defensive sequences tonight, too. You know, so I think, you know, especially, you know, I think Yogi's gotten a lot of the, you know, kind of pub, especially from a national perspective. But goodness, I mean, I think Jeremy has proven that he's going to be, he won't be as valuable as your starting point guard, but he's proven that he's going to have a role on this team.
Yeah, I think I've been impressed with some of the same things you have. I mean, certainly from an aggressiveness, he hasn't shied away from anything. You know, 12 points in the opener, 14 points tonight. The one thing is you kind of compare the stat lines. He didn't turn the ball over at all tonight, at least according to what I'm looking at. And he had 3 turnovers in the first game in 17 minutes. So he already saw a little bit of improvement there. You know, to your point, he took 4 threes tonight. I think he'll develop that outside shot. He did make one there toward the end, and but I thought he was really effective inside, and I think he's got enough length where, and he's big enough, even coming in as a freshman, he can get into the post a little bit, he can score off the dribble, he pulled up and hit a nice, you know, mid-range jump shot at some point during the game. You know, the defensive play you mentioned, he had scored, I think, 5 straight points and then forced a 3-second call on the defensive end, just playing good position defense and you know, and standing his ground inside. So I've really been impressed with him, and I think, you know, he's a guy who's only going to get better and really started to blossom even more toward the end of his high school career, and a guy who rose in the, you know, recruiting rankings for whatever stock you want to put in those. He was one who kind of saw his stock go up down the stretch, and he's just, you know, he's big enough that he can score inside, and I think he can defend a number of positions because of his quickness. I think he's just another, you know, versatile piece, a little bit like a, you know, Sheehy or an Oladipo to some extent, where you can put him on different guys defensively and they can also beat you in different ways on the offensive end. So I think he's going to be one who, by the time he's down at IU, is going to be really, really good because, you know, he's starting at a good point, and I think he's only going to get better as he learns from some of these other guys. I think Watford's a guy he can really learn a lot from in terms of, you know, kind of picking the spots inside and outside and, you know, some of the rebounding and defending guys who might be a little bit bigger than you. And I think that's really an area he's going to get a lot better in. Obviously, you can get by when you're, you know, 6'8 in high school and defend a whole bunch of different positions. And so tonight he went up against, you know, a little bit tougher big guy, and I thought held his own at times, and that's only going to get better. So I think a really, really good start for him, and, you know, really that core of, you know, him and Abel and Sheehy, at least for now. You know, your first 3 guys off the bench have been really good, and something I think he's going to build that confidence and take it into some of these bigger games.
Yeah, let's just touch real briefly on Remy before we start closing up here, because, I mean, he's 7 for 7 from the field on the year. He's 7 of 8 from the free throw line. He's only turned the ball over once. You know, he's grabbing rebounds. He's doing a good job on defense. You know, any just quick thoughts on Remy, who, you know, I mean, tonight, you know, the guy that I was thinking of tonight as I watched Remy play was Greg Graham. Just the way that he was able to shoot, the way that he could put the ball on the floor, the way that he could defend the perimeter. Like, to me, I don't know if Remy Abel has that kind of ceiling, because Greg Graham, when he was a senior, was one of the best guards in all of college basketball and was just outstanding. But I feel like that's the kind of skill set that Remy has. If he can, you know, and I know in the offseason, you know, Tom Crean was talking about him just developing that mentality to understand how good of a player he can be. And, you know, maybe Remy took that to heart because he has certainly come out and been, you know, just like Jeremy Hollowell, been very assertive, you know, really looking to get his shot, pick his spot, and he's doing a good job with it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who consistently heard good things about over the course of the offseason. You know, not only from, you know, things that Crean would say. I know in talking to Alex Bozich a couple weeks ago on my podcast, he brought him up as a guy who, you know, he'd been really impressed with. You know, Megan, who's in the chat, had said, you know, he looked really good at the Haunted Hall. So he seems like a guy who's really just, you know, brimming with confidence at this point, and that's translating well into the game. And then again, I think it's a case where if you're coming off the bench, you get, you know, you get to watch a little bit of the game, see how the flow of it is, and come in fresh. And he's a guy who can do so many different things. He's a really good defender. Sometimes that leads to offense. He's grabbed a few good rebounds. I think just, you know, generally he played really well. And one of the things I tweeted out during the game was that, you know, he seems like he's fallen into the line of guys like Oladipo and Sheehy, who weren't highly rated recruits, but kind of a potential diamond in the rough type guy that Crean's been able to find, who has a really good attitude and is willing to do whatever it takes. And I think that, you know, you just, you know, see him really growing and kind of blossoming into, you know, a really solid bench player this year. And I think his ability to really kind of play both guard spots is important. And he's big enough and a good enough defender where he can even guard some small forwards. So I think he's going to be able to, you know, again, I feel like, you know, versatility is the, you know, word of the year for this team so far, but they have so many guys in that, you know, 6'3 to 6'6, 6'7 range that can defend a bunch of different positions and score in a bunch of different ways. I think it just gives so many good lineup options where you really don't lose anything with that. And, you know, and even he came in last year as a guy who wasn't highly recruited and really had some big moments, played really well in the NC State game early in the year, and then had a really big game, which actually was his previous career high before tonight against Purdue when went on the road and won there. So, you know, he's a guy who, even coming in without that, you know, high recruiting ranking and that kind of pedigree, has, you know, not shied away from the spotlight since he's been there. So definitely been really impressed with him, particularly given he has this wrap on his wrist that nobody quite knows what happened with, but yeah. He seems to be playing well. He might as well leave it on there for the rest of the year at this point, or at least until he misses a shot, and then we'll go from there. And I also commented in the chat that when you started to say, you know, somebody he reminds me of, Greg Graham was the first name that came to mind, too. So I'm not sure what that says about us, that we may know a little bit too much history of this stuff or whatever, but I thought it was a pretty good comparison. And Graham was a guy who, while he was kind of known for his offense in some ways, was a really good defender. And, you know, despite the fact that he had kind of like twigs for legs and arms, but he was a really good defender and probably a good comparison.
Yeah, well, he was a good defender, except for that famous time when he didn't recover in the secretly taped audio of Bob Knight. If you're not going to recover, Greg Graham, which always makes me laugh, but he was. He turned into a very good defender. You know, Greg is a guy who just, he got better all 4 years. You know, and I mean, he almost improved more from his freshman year to his senior year than, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to think of. I mean, there's a few guys you can think of, but, you know, I mean, he really got better. And that's what you're kind of seeing from Remy, is just that steady growth. You know, and I mean, it's great to see. He's just another great piece on this team. All right, well, let's wrap things up here, Andy. We've got, let's see, the next game is Sam Houston State Thursday night. That is a 7 o'clock Eastern tip, 6 o'clock Central tip. So these are, 6 o'clock Central. So at the same time as today, we'll, of course, be here. And that game is not on BTN.com. That's on the Big Ten Network. Tonight's game was the only one that is available, or that will be available exclusively on BTN.com. So if you know, you don't have to worry about that anymore. I think I read that Iowa has like 5 games that you can only watch on BTN.com. So I think the Big Ten Network wanted one to make all the crazy IU fans like us pay for the account, but they weren't going to anger everybody by putting the number one team in the country solely on BTN.com too many times. But anyway, I'll kick it over to you for final thoughts first. And if you want to, if you have any just quick thoughts on Sam Houston State that you want to kind of give us as a preview, since you know a little bit about everybody, feel free. And otherwise, your final thought on tonight's IU victory.
Yeah, well, I guess one quick thing about it being online, I think the replay is tomorrow at, I think, 5 Eastern on the Big Ten Network. So if anybody missed it or wanted to see it outside of the grainy computer screen, that's the way to do it. As far as Sam Houston State, I'll be honest if I say I don't know much about them. I'm looking at Palmer really quickly now. It gives IU 99% chance to win and favors them by about 30 points. So They did say, I will say this, in their first game, they played at Arkansas and only lost by five. And Arkansas should actually be pretty good this year, although they played that game without one of their best players. Tomorrow, they're tuning up for IU by playing something called Harden Simmons, which I don't believe relates to James Harden or Bill Simmons or Richard Simmons or any of those people. So I would imagine they'll come in at 1-1 on the season, barring a complete collapse. But definitely a game that IU, you know, should win, and probably another one where you just really, you know, will look for, you know, look for some of the same things we've seen in this game. You know, how do the guys come in and play off the bench? What combinations are working well together? You know, continuing to look for defensive improvement and things like that. So, again, kind of a tune-up game. And the team they play after that in the first game in Brooklyn on Monday is Georgia, who got beat by Youngstown State tonight. So, might really be that UCLA-Georgetown winner before they play anybody that gives us much of a test at this point from a scheduling standpoint.
Let me ask you this real quick before you get to your final thought. Real quick. You know, we talk about, you know, this game, you know, looks like it's going to be a blowout type thing, things to watch for. Do you think in terms of a thing to watch for that, you know, seeing how Yogi bounces back, you know, after playing really well his first game, being a little bit uneven, do you kind of look to see what his mentality is? Does he play, you know, a step, not a step slower, but, you know, just a little bit more in control, kind of see how his mentality is? Is that the kind of thing you would look at in a game like this?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think those are really the kinds of things, just how they respond to different situations. And, you know, I think that's a good one for sure to see how he does. I think, you know, you want to look and see if you continue to see, you know, strong play from Hollowell. And look at Watford, who really didn't have a great game tonight, kind of force things, see how he bounces back. Obviously, there's a lot more, you know, of a sample size that we can go to with him to look at different things. But, you know, I think that, you know, those are kind of quick things to look for, and, you know, I think the Yogi one's probably the biggest one, you know, just because, you know, you don't know quite as well how he might react to that. But I think he'll bounce back well and you know, hopefully, you know, be able to watch some of the film, see some of the, you know, different passes he could have made and things like that. Obviously, he's going to be fine. So, but agree that that's something to look for. Sam Houston State also spells the Bearcats in their name with a K in cats, so... Okay.
Yes.
You can draw your own conclusion there, but
Texas education.
Fantastic. You know, as far as final thoughts, I mean, again, I think the things that stood out to me were really the play of the guys off the bench, and just a further look at the depth that this team has. And that's only going to get better when you know, some of the big guys get back, and obviously the challenge there for Crean will be how to fit everybody in. But you look at guys, and you're not going to overextend anybody. The most anybody played was 27 minutes. And I think, you know, obviously some of that had to do with the margin, but even in parts of the game when the margin wasn't, you know, close to what it ended up being, you saw a confidence to play guys and let them, you know, get some minutes and take shots, and nobody really seems, you know, afraid to do things. I thought at times the team was even a little bit too unselfish, which I think, it's a good problem to have right now and try to work through some of that. So, you know, again, I think I walked away as impressed with anything. It's just the depth and the way that some of the guys are playing off the bench, particularly where that was an area, you know, following the suspensions and those kinds of things where there started to be at least a little bit of concern. And obviously you haven't faced teams with, you know, a ton of, you know, big guys inside, so to really test the, you know, the depth in that regard. But just seeing guys who are coming in confident, able to play hard in quick spurts and play really well. So we'll I think that was a good thing to take away from tonight. You saw Holes bounce back and hit a few threes, and obviously going to need that from him. So another good performance where you kind of win a game you're supposed to win and you march on to the next one.
Yeah, you know, and for me, from a final thought perspective, you know, you're not going to hear me talk much about recruiting this season, because I think it's so important that, you know, that we savor this team. I mean, it's probably going to be our, you know, our last year with Cody, and we want to appreciate every single thing that he does on the floor and brings to the program. And, you know, I think this is going to be a really unique blend and a unique team that's going to be so much fun to watch. You know, but considering, you know, kind of an easy performance or an easy game with an easy game coming up, I do think this is a good opportunity just to laud Coach Crean and his staff for the recruiting class that they have lined up for 2013 now, which was kind of supposed to be that sandwich class, as Zach explained in his article, you know, between the movement and the 2014 class. But, you know, I mean, goodness. I mean, they just landed Noah Vonleh, added, you know, to Troy Williams and Stanford Robinson. And the latest I saw from Evan Daniels was that IU's 2013 recruiting class is now number two in the nation. I mean, so, you know, for a recruiting class that for a while, you know, looked to be, you know, more of an afterthought. And when you say afterthought with the Tom Crean recruiting class, shoot, the Victor Oladipo, Will Sheehy recruiting class was a quote-unquote afterthought. So that's, you know, I think we can – we can trust that he knows what he's looking for in players, so that's not necessarily an insult on the class as it was before, but certainly adding the level of kind of top-tier ranking talent that they did, it keeps the ball rolling, and it shows, you know, just their tireless work ethic and their willingness to continue to get IU on top and keep the Hoosiers there, you know, and so it's great to see. You know, you gotta strike while the iron's hot, and, you know, the Hoosiers are ranked number one. They've got a lot of hype, and Coach Green and his staff and the current players and the fans, you know, it's nice seeing Noah Vonleh say that when he walked in, all the fans chanting, "We want Noah." You know, that's what fans should do. That's how you help support your program. And so just kudos to everybody. You know, I won't talk about it much this year because there's so much to focus on the court this year, but just big kudos to everybody involved in lining up another great recruiting class next year. You know, so that now Indiana's a program that just reloads. We don't rebuild, and that's where we want to be. That's where we should be. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to all those who have, who listened tonight, who will listen tomorrow in the future, and for being in there in the chat. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter, Assembly Call. Follow Andy on Twitter, Andy Bottoms. He tweets not just about IU, but about all college basketball and knows as much as anybody. And, yeah, otherwise, we will be here on Thursday night. Same time, same place as we always are after the Indiana-San Houston State game. And other than that, everybody enjoy their evening, and we will see you in about 72 hours. Adios.